Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You could join us in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you could join us on our live stream. You could worship with us. Fellowship, chat, pray, or go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and worship with us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Well, we do welcome you to the Seed Christian Fellowship Seed of Faith. It is our prayer that as a church community, we come to know the deep, deep love of God and are transformed by this love. My greatest joy is to see someone's life transformed by the love of God. We're journeying with Jesus to Jerusalem. In the next few weeks, we're going to be in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Matthew. You know that there are 9 miracles recorded in these two chapters? 9 miracles. Last week, we looked at the miracle of Jesus reaching out and touching the leper who was a broken outcast. We heard those powerful words as Jesus reached out and touched the leper, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Matthew 8:3 tells us one of the greatest things about this miracle is that Jesus touches the untouchable. Let me say that again. Jesus touches the untouchable. Have you ever felt untouchable? Have you ever felt unreachable? This miracle brings us hope that no matter how far we've gone, the work of the cross is still deeper. Overall point of the first week was Jesus is willing, are we? Maybe make it personal. Jesus is willing, am I? Before we go to God's Word, let us come to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are willing, and we know that you are willing. We pray for your will to be done in our lives. We pray that our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes will be open to see you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Take whatever I've prepared and don't let me waste time or space. May we come to the fountain to drink in your living words of life. May our worship be about you and you alone. Touch us. We are willing. Amen. Grab your Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, I'd gladly send you a Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would be." And his servant was healed at that very hour. This story is recorded in 2 of the 4 Gospels, here in Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Luke gives us a few more specific details. Jesus came down from the mountain after teaching the great Sermon on the Mount, and on his way into Capernaum, we hear of Jesus healing the leper, touching the untouchable. Now we come to this story. Have you ever wondered why some of these stories are recorded? I always say put yourself in the story and then put the story in you. That's an important thing to do. There are several wonders of faith found in this story. And as always, today, clear your mind and heart and put yourself in the story. Are you following Jesus? Are you with the centurion? Are you back home with a paralyzed man? Maybe you're paralyzed. Are you suffering? There are many places for us to put ourselves into this story. Don't ever leave the story without putting it into your very being. We don't just read the word. We just don't hear the word. This is the living word of God. Transformation begins when we believe the word. Before we jumped in the story, I was thinking about some of the experiences the Lord has blessed me with through my life. In my previous life, before being a pastor, I'm a second career pastor, I was in the business world. I had two Goodyear stores, and I managed and partially owned one of them. I was the general manager of a GMC truck franchise. I enjoyed many aspects of my work. For the first five years after college graduation, to be honest with you, I was not a Christian. Then in 1981, I rededicated my life to Christ, and I was up for the business. Did you know that GMC, well, it doesn't really stand for General Motors Corporation. It stands for God Made Coincidences and Good Years. When I was with Goodyear, my wife and I had the opportunity to travel to many fascinating places around the world. This week, I was looking through some old files, and I found my old passport from those days. And on the front of it says, Passport, United States of America. And on the inside, it has all those, you know, stamps of all the wonderful places we were able to visit. We've been to Asia and Europe and South America and Africa. The stamps on that old passport was Amsterdam and Rome and Japan and Hong Kong and Macau, China. What is interesting is that when this passport expired, they stamped inside the front cover, canceled, in big, bold red letters. They also punched two holes in the front. I started thinking as I was holding this passport, what if there was a passport of faith? What would it look like? How would I know if I was able to visit certain places? Maybe the front cover would say, Passport, Kingdom of Heaven. This passport thing got me thinking about our Bible story today. We were the unnamed centurion. We're the unnamed servant who was sick. We have the disciples who were following Jesus. We have Matthew who wrote this story. And of course, we have Jesus. Did they all have their own passport or traveling papers? Matthew, who writes the story, is a Jewish tax collector, and he's writing this book to the Jewish people. A note about Matthew being a tax collector, he was very educated. He knew all the law had to offer. He had to be he had to be a numbers guy and a detail guy. The scholars say Matthew is writing everything down so the Jews have the details and facts about Jesus. And yet right here, we find a story about a non-Jewish Gentile Roman centurion. A centurion was a very powerful and influential person. As the name says, he oversaw and commanded 100 men. This unnamed centurion was most likely in charge of guarding the town of Capernaum. This unnamed centurion was wealthy, powerful, and influential. He may have been the highest ranking military person in the town. We do not know much about him other than he was a centurion. We do know that he was a Gentile and not a Jew. In those days, Gentiles and Jews, well, they didn't associate with each other. A Jewish person was not allowed to go into the home of a Gentile unless he wanted to be made unclean. Matthew is telling a story within the story. Are you with me? Have you put yourself into the story? I believe that Matthew included the story in his Jewish letter to tell the Jewish people that Jesus came not only for them, but that Jesus came for the Gentiles too. I believe that is why Jesus made the statement in verse 11 and 12. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom they'll be thrown outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew is telling us that faith in Jesus is a passport for everyone, not just the Jews. I want to share a personal story from a church that I served a long, long time ago. I came to this church to share the good news of Jesus to everyone in town. My wife and I met the local butcher and his family. His daughter was recently divorced with two small children. We found the butcher shop and struck up the best friendship the church has ever really offered me. I still am friends with him now, you know, but he was a Gentile. He's the Gentile in this story. I invited him to come to church, to the summer children's program. Little did I know, because I was fairly new to town, that the butcher and his family, well, they were from the wrong side of the tracks. His shop was on the north side of town, and that was then considered, in that town, the wrong side of the tracks. I didn't know that the church had been called to, well, a secret dress code and standards for membership. They had doctors and lawyers and teachers and other professional people. We did not have a butcher and his family as members. An important side note, the butcher and his wife and family, well, they were from California, and this church was back in, well, Missouri. They had moved to the heartland of America to make a better life. This was back in 1998. The butcher and his family came to church and Bible studies. You got to love the free spirit of those Californians. The butcher one day shared the Bible study that he moved to the middle of America because he wanted to live in the Bible Belt. But little did he realize that the Bible Belt meant that the people had put their belt on the Bible. He kind of offended a few people. He often questioned us at Bible study. Do we really believe this stuff? Or do we read it and go out and everything is status quo? Why aren't we all out evangelizing the town, he would say. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Our prayer team will pray for you. I'm talking about inviting the butcher and his family to church, and they're from the wrong side of town. One day, the local doctor and his wife invited my wife and I to lunch at their home. While we were eating lunch, the doctor and his wife informed me that they represented a group of people from the church, and they asked me to tell the butcher and his family that they needed to find a different church. They did not fit in. They were different. They were from the wrong side of the tracks. To be totally honest with you, I was astonished and speechless for a little bit. As always, in a situation like this, it's good to ask a lot of questions and offer up some quiet prayers. I took two napkins from the table, paper napkins, one from the table and one from my lap. The one from my table was a bit used, a bit crumpled. I said that these two napkins are the same, correct? All the napkins looked like the nice napkins we welcome them to come to church. Then I took the crumpled up napkin from my lap and asked if this napkin could come to church. It was a basic napkin. It was just used and crumpled. The doctor and his wife understood me correctly, and they said, no. I uncrumpled the napkin, tried to smooth it out, and laid it back upon the fresh, clean, well, new, cleaner napkins. Could the crumpled napkin now go to church, they said. I asked, and they said, no. That napkin is different. It needs to go to a church like them. I said that this napkin was the same no matter if it was a nice and clean or if it was all crumpled up and dirty. They both would go to the same church. I'll never forget that lunch. After that display, the doctor and his wife asked me if I would ask the butcher and his family to find a new church because, well, they were not like the other church members. I told them I would not. I said, we are all welcome to God's table. That is what Scripture teaches, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, free or slave, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. There was no one who was unwelcome. A pivotal moment in my first call as a pastor, I had given up the passport of one kingdom for a totally another kingdom, and here I was having that passport punched and canceled. I left my first call, to be honest with you, after 18 months, and I headed west to Southern California. The Jewish people expected the Gentiles to be absolutely shut out. Now Jesus is telling them, and Matthew is recording this, the Gentiles are now guests at the Messianic banquet, and Jews, whom they expected to be welcomed with open arms, were to be shut out into outer darkness. Sounds like maybe their Bible had a belt on it too. The tables were turned, and all expectations were reversed. The Jews had to learn that the passport to God's presence is not the valid membership of any one nation. The passport to the kingdom of God is faith. It makes me think that we all might need, well, a passport of faith. The first thing that this passage teaches me is that faith in Jesus is the passport for everyone to enter the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. This passage teaches us that faith in Jesus is the passport for everyone to enter the kingdom of God. The centurion, a hated, berated Gentile, came to Jesus on a passport of faith. Second thing that this passage teaches me is that faith in Jesus requires a passport of humility. Here is this high-ranking officer who has Caesar as Lord, yet two times this humble centurion calls Jesus Lord. Listen again to verse 6. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. The centurion makes an appeal on behalf of his servant, who according to the word Matthew uses in verse 6, he's a young servant or a young man or a young girl born to one of his household slaves. The big deal here is that in the Greco-Roman world, slave owners had no regard for their slaves or their servants. Here is a very powerful, influential centurion, commander of 100 soldiers in town, humbling himself and showing care and concern for his servant. In verse 8, we hear again the centurion, as he calls Jesus Lord, humbling himself and saying, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. This verse is packed with humility and faith. Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Instead of wielding his power and influence, commanding Jesus to do something, the centurion humbles himself. Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word. Faith in Jesus requires a passport of faith. The centurion just showed us his faith. Faith in Jesus requires a passport of humility. The centurion just showed us his humility. Faith in Jesus is a passport for everyone, even the crumpled napkins of the world. Professor Craig Keener shares the story in Christianity Today. He shares this story, and I'll share it with you. Around 1960, in the Republic of Congo, a two-year-old girl named Therese was bitten by a snake. She cried out for help, but by the time her mother, Antoinette, reached her, Therese was unresponsive and seemed to have stopped breathing. No medical help was available to them in their village, so Antoinette strapped a little Therese on her back and ran to a neighboring village. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine, brain cells start dying less than 5 minutes after their oxygen supply is removed. After 6 minutes, lacks of oxygen can cause severe brain damage and death. Antoinette estimates that given the distance and the terrain, it probably took her 3 hours to reach the next village. By the time they arrived, her daughter was likely either dead or had sustained significant brain damage. Antoinette immediately sought out a family friend, Foko Nagoma Moise, who was an evangelist in the neighboring village. They prayed over the lifeless girl and immediately she started breathing again. By the next day, she was fine. No long-term harm or no brain damage. Today, Therese has a master's degree and she's a pastor in the Congo. Dr. Craig Keener says, when I heard this story as a Westerner, I was naturally tempted towards skepticism, but it was hard to deny. Therese is my sister-in-law, and Antoinette was my mother-in-law. The centurion had a passport of faith. In fact, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith," Matthew 8:10. The Greek verb for tell you, like I tell you the truth, tell you, right here, it's a present active verb. And I love reading the verbs because they tell us the action. And so Jesus is saying, "I tell you, I tell you, I tell you, I tell you again," repeatedly, over and again. The action of telling never stops. When I put myself into this story, I wonder if just before they met the Roman centurion, if Jesus called out to Matthew to get his scroll out and ink pen ready. "Matthew, come here, take note. This might be a good story someday to write down." What I believe that Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us is that faith and humility can come in fresh and new napkins and also in crumpled napkins. Just because you belong to the right church or the right bloodline, the right crowd, that isn't what qualifies you for a passport into the kingdom of God. So what? I know I'm stepping on toes. I believe that this story here is for you and me. What qualifies us for the kingdom of God is found right here in this centurion: faith and humility. Listen to what the centurion says. "Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." Wow. Where are you in the story? Where is the story in you? Are you on the outside of the faith and outside of faith and humility, like the Jews judging all others, deciding who can and who cannot fit into the kingdom of God? Criticism runs deep in the church. When I would not ask the butcher to go find another church, I upset a lot of people. It wasn't long before we were sitting in some serious meetings deciding the future of my call. You know, I never shared that situation with my friend the butcher, but that night, after the church had decided to dissolve my pastor church relationship, I walked from the basement to the office, and the session had all gone home. The elders had all gone home, and I thought I was all alone. And there, kneeling by the door of my office in prayer, was the butcher. You see, the gospel is good news for all people, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, slave and free, man, woman, child, adult, educated, uneducated. The good news is not a beauty contest for the church. The good news is a clarion call to all to come to Jesus and be healed. Jesus is teaching us that faith and humility go a long way in his church. The centurion sought Jesus out and said, "Lord." His faith was on display for all to see. Then the centurion goes one step further. "Jesus, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." What great faith and humility this centurion had. In other words, "Jesus, I have a crumpled napkin lying paralyzed in bed, and I know you're busy. I'm a commander. I understand that you have all that you can do. Just say the word and you'll heal my crumpled napkin." Jesus is astounded by the guy's faith. The best part of this story for me is the follow-up in verse 13. "And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, it'll be done to you just as you believed it would be.' And his servant was healed that very hour." Let us pray. Lord, let us come to you. You alone are worthy of our faith and love and worship. Thank you for loving us, for saving us, and for healing us like the Roman centurion. We lift up all who need your loving touch. Heal them. Just say the word, Lord. Lord, you alone are worthy of all praise. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed and have a great day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.